I got a special, 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 special guest here today with me. It's a guy who's been in town once before, twice before, three times. Have we run you out of town at all?
I've been coming here to Chico for quite some time. I don't know exactly how many times. I just know that the first time I came here, I played at the Sierra Nevada, and I barely halfway filled it up. But if, after a few times of coming back, every time I come back, the crowds are getting bigger, and so now
we can't even put you in one night. Huh?
Well, I've built it up with the help of, you know, everybody else, and I've built it up to getting to do two nights sold out, and so I'm really excited about how it's grown since I started playing here. You know,
you might not have recognized this voice, but this is Mr. Paul Thorne.
Hey, what's happening?
It's pretty awesome to have you here. It's definitely a treat for us.
It's a treat for me.
You played at the Big Room last night.
Yes, ma'am.
You're playing there tonight.
Once again.
Is there tickets left?
I think they're sold out.
They're
yes,
sold
ma'am.
Out. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe there's hope for me.
I think you're going to be a star, Paul.
You're going to be, this might work for you, you know?
Yeah.
You might keep doing this for a while.
Well, you know, when I leave home and leave my family, and, you know, it's hard to do that. So if I'm going to leave the house and pursue something while I'm gone, I'm going to try to make it count, you know? And things like getting to come here and having two nights sold out, it makes me feel like there's hope, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there is hope because you write some pretty incredible songs.
Thank you.
I mean, you're a great musician, but I really love the words in your songs. It's just, they're just so awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I can't take all the credit. Most of the songs I co-write with my songwriting partner, mm-hmm. Billy Maddox, uh-huh. who's also my manager. I'm 52 years old. And he and I have been working together since I was 17.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, and he's the you'll see him at the shows. He's walking around. He's constantly doing stuff. He's got gray hair and a gray beard. He kind of looks like a Kenny Rogers impersonator.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Kind of.
We can do that if this ever. So you write together.
Yeah.
So do one of you write the words and one write the music or?
No, it's usually we'll. Present ideas to each other. Like I'll get an idea and say, hey, check this out. I'll play him a little something on the guitar and he's real honest with me. He'll either say, yeah, I think that's something we should work on, or he'll say, what else you got?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, I get told what's the truth, and I'm really, really good. I'm thankful for that because if you have nothing but yes men, it will stunt your growth.
That's for sure. Yeah. Yeah. You don't need people that are always telling you that what you're doing is right. That's not a good thing.
Well,
not a good thing.
That's what happened to Elvis. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Who was from my hometown, Tupelo, Mississippi.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
And he was a great talent, but, you know, when he got on drugs, he had so many people on his payroll, nobody would say anything to him because they were afraid they'd lose their jobs.
Right.
You know?
So
he just died right there in front of them.
Yeah. And that happens to so many famous people. It really does.
And
it's good if they have somebody that was with them early on and can be a friend and just tell them the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people don't get that.
It ain't fun sometimes to hear the truth, though.
Yeah, yeah,
because some of them harsh truth is what they call a wake-up call.
That's right.
And I'm very fortunate. Not only my manager, Billy, but my bandmates. You know, when we see each other running off the track, whether it's me or them, we try to pull each other's coat because we don't want to watch any of us self-destruct and do the wrong thing, you know?
Yeah. That's way cool. That's good.
A lot of temptation out there, too.
There is.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, especially for a musician.
Yeah, man. When I was younger, I wasn't attracted to middle-aged women. But now that I'm in my 50s, they're the hottest thing in town. And there's a lot of, a lot of the ladies that come to the show, they stand in the front row,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to catch my attention, you know, and they wear these things, they wear doggy bras. You know what a doggy bra is?
I don't.
It makes a pointer out of a sitter.
<Ba-dum-bum>.
So these middle-aged women with them doggy bras on, they're very enticing. So you have to, I have to really restrain myself and ask the Lord to give me strength.
Amen.
Is that who gives you the strength, or is it your drummer who's covering your butt?
It's a lot of things. It's
close with your wife.
It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things. It's the Lord, and but the biggest one is I don't want to lose half my assets.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Because you know, with everything, everybody's got a camera now. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and so mm-hmm. you know, you got to watch what you do. You got to watch every step you make because somebody will. Film it and put it on the internet, and then the next thing you know, you've lost everything.
Yeah, or half of everything.
Yeah, it's
depends hard. On depends on the lawyer, I guess. Who's got the best lawyer?
Yeah, every human being has a hard time doing the right thing.
Yeah,
everybody's tempted by something, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And when you're tempted by something, it's like you're in your car. You know, you have the power to put your foot on the brakes or the gas,
mm-hmm.
whichever one you accelerate on. That's what's gonna happen,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And putting the brakes on is hard sometimes, especially when you've had a few drinks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you everybody's tempted by something, and some of us are tempted by many things.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff.
there's many, many, many temptations out there.
Yeah, what one person's weak for, don't bother the next person.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Paul, one of the favorite songs, my favorite song of yours is Pimps and Preachers.
You like that one?
Oh, I love that one. You know, cool. I have I've always had a diverse range of acquaintances,
yeah.
and friends,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they're all there, and there's everybody's got good and bad in them.
Oh yeah,
and nice and nasty, you know. So, but it's that I just love that song.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. That's my favorite.
Thank you. Well, yeah, you know, it's true. That when I was growing up, my father was a Pentecostal preacher.
Mm-hmm. And your uncle.
My uncle was a pimp.
Nice.
And so those guys really were my mentors in mm-hmm. my formative years. And
mm-hmm.
and I, like you said, I learned that the person you look up to the most is full of flaws.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, everyone is.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, I've been around a lot of famous people and very notable people in my life, but I don't get nervous in front of them because I realize what I just said. No matter mm-hmm. how great you think they are flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't mind talking to somebody homeless on the street, or I'll talk to the president.
Mm-hmm. You know, they've all got something to teach you.
All of them do. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And just you know, just be kind to everybody
mm-hmm.
above all else.
That's right.
And
that's
if
right.
you can't deal with somebody that's being a jerk, just don't go around them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, no. yeah, yeah. Just walk away. Walk away.
Yeah,
that's
yep.
great. That's great. Well, awesome. Well, you've got your guitar here.
Yeah.
Would you like to play us some tune? I want to keep talking with you, and we could just do that all day. But you know, I bet you know people out there would love to hear you play something.
I'm gonna sing your song, "Pimps and Preachers."
Nice, nice.
My daddy had a Cadillac. My uncle drove a Ford. One was Satan's angel and one worked for the Lord. They had some hard-earned wisdom, they both became my teachers. I was a young disciple of pimps and preachers. The school of life was open, each day I went to class. When I didn't pay attention, they kicked me in the ass. They were turning out young bitches and converting non-believers. I was learning from the masters, pimps and preachers. One jugged me through the darkness, one led me to the light. One showed me how to love, one taught me how to fight. I guess you could say I am an overachiever. And I owe a debt of gratitude to pimps and preachers. They kept me under their wings, but when I passed the test, they gave me a pinstripe suit and pushed me from the nest. Now I'm standing on a corner recruiting hunger seekers. I'm starting a new religion, I call it pimps and preachers. One drug me through the darkness, one led me to the light. One showed me how to love, one taught me how to fight. I guess you could say I am an overachiever, and I owe a debt of gratitude to pimps and preachers. You can stand there and do nothing, but if you want to go far, don't try to please everybody. Be proud of who you are. Get out there in the game. Don't sit up in the bleachers. That is the philosophy of pimps and preachers. One drug me through the darkness, one led me to the light. One showed me how to love, one taught me how to fight. I guess you could say I am an overachiever, and I owe a debt of gratitude to pimps and preachers.
Nice. Nice. Nice, nice, nice.
Thank you.
All right. You know, and you know what I like about that song too is because you talk about one showed you how to love and one showed you how to fight and whatever, and it doesn't tell you which one.
That's right.
Which is, you know, because, you know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a big difference. Well, you know, pimps and preachers, they approach things different. Like, a good example is like, here is my father. Here's an impersonation of my father sitting at a table asking for ketchup. All right, here he said, here's my dad. Excuse me, would you hand me the ketchup, please? All right, well, here's my uncle sitting at the same table asking for ketchup. Give me that ketchup before I black your eye.
That's great. That's great.
That's sort of how they were.
That's great. That's great. I love that. I love that. That's so wonderful. Awesome. Awesome. You got some other songs that are just Joni the Jehovah's Witness stripper. That's a fun song. You got some. And then I don't even like half the people I love. You know, I mean, it's just some great stuff.
It's just, it's universal truth is what it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the fact that you can put it into words and make it sound right.
It's a challenge. You know, it's every time I write a song, I have the fear of never being able to write another one, you know.
Mm.
But I think any writer, you know, feels that. You know, the great Kris Kristofferson, you know, mm-hmm. back when he was in that group, the Highwaymen,
mm-hmm.
They were looking for songs for the Highwayman record. And here's Kris Kristofferson, you know, one of the greatest songwriters who ever lived. And he brought a song in he wrote. And he played it for Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson and who was the other guy?
Waylon.
And Waylon.
Waylon.
He played the song for them, and then at the end of it, they all looked at each other and they said to Chris, "What else you got?" Because it wasn't a good song. So here we got even Chris writes some clunkers, you know.
Oh yeah.
So imagine how many clunkers I write.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's better than me, so I got 10 times more clunkers than him.
Working parts. They're just working parts.
Yeah. It's like Muhammad Ali. He's the greatest. I'm just the goodest.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I'm sure you torture your family with all those clunkers, and you know they have to.
Well, yeah.
For close friends, they have to, you know, go through it with you.
Yeah, when I'm at home every day, every single day when I'm at home, I've got a guitar sitting on a stand in my living room, and I just periodically pick it up, and I will play the same song sometimes every day for a solid year trying to finish it.
Mm.
And they hear me sing these songs, and they get tired of them before they even come out.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Or they'll say, well, we liked it when you were doing it with your acoustic guitar. And then, because when I get the songs done, I'll take them to the studio, and my band will play them. And a lot of times my wife likes my stuff I do in the living room because it's what she remembers the song being
right
better than a record. So right. I don't even like to give my wife a record because I'm afraid she don't like it.
Give her roses at the same time. It'll work.
Yeah. That's too expensive. That creates a monster.
No, yeah, or you can give her what your nose hair trimmers.
I don't want to talk about my romantic side, but if you want to bring it up.
you are such a romantic.
Well, I told a story last night, but the listeners didn't hear it. But
yeah,
they did. They did. Oh, that's right. This
we
was on the radio.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. I can't remember. That's right. This is the one. Yeah. I did another station. I wasn't sure which one was which, but now it's coming to me now.
What do you mean, another station? You're seeing another station?
Well,
he went to KCHO first. That's okay.
Brothers and sisters. At the beginning of our relationship, I never said I was monogamous. So if I cheat on you, I never said I wouldn't.
Another radio station, it's
I never said I was true. I said I love you while you're here.
Yeah, there you go. And that's all you have is that moment.
What else is life but moments?
Moments, that's right.
We can have a good time or not.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's like that Meatloaf song, you know.
I want you, I need you, but ain't no way I'm gonna ever love you. What a great song.
What a great song. And then he finally gives in, and now he's waiting for the end of time. You know, he just can't, you know, how do I get out of this? You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's best not to get in that situation in the first place. Just say, hey.
In a split second, you can go from I love you to I'm done.
Yeah. And it's nice if there's not a lot of financial commitments in between there, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're getting way too personal. So you're married and you've got kids.
I'm married to my wife Heather, and I have two daughters. I have a 12-year-old daughter and a 23-year-old daughter. And my children are by two different women. But one thing I've learned is, you know, if you pay them on time, they'll act like they like you.
Yeah. And they won't say too many bad things to the kids.
That's right. No, I'm real fortunate. The mother of both my children. I'm married to one, and the other one I'm not, but we're really good friends. We have Christmas together.
Nice.
We have, you know, my wife and my ex, they've actually went shopping. They've actually went on trips together.
Nice. Yeah.
I've been trying to talk them into a three-way, but they won't go for some reason.
Now, I do know some people that are in that situation, so it is possible. Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
It's hard to get in. It's hard to convince.
The problem with it, you got to show equal attention. Because if you show one more attention than the other one's going to get jealous.
Or sometimes, in some cases, Paul, you know, and this has happened too. You know, they get together and then they don't really need you. Sometimes they figure that out. You know,
well,
that's also a possibility.
Well, if it comes to
I've known of that happening also.
Well, if it comes to that, I got options in every town and every city. I go back to the doggy bras in the front row and say, "What's up?"
Love you. So we are on the internet, and so your wife could be streaming this back home.
Oh, she knows. She knows I am.
Yeah.
I talk this way in front of her. She knows I am. I'm just joking around.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good thing.
It is.
I'm sure she has a good sense of humor, or she wouldn't be with you.
She has to put up with a lot of stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. She does. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's somebody I really admire because, you know, when I'm away from home, she has to do a lot of things without my help.
Yes.
You know, it's like being a single mother sometimes.
Exactly.
So I kind of worship her, you know.
That's way cool. That's way cool that you appreciate and understand that because it's tough. It's tough. And not only, you know, is she having to deal with the plumbing and the electrical and you know, getting the child to wherever needs to be.
Yeah, go to school.
And the whole dealing with all of that. But then there's also the time when she, you know, might get emotional and really wants to be with you and you're not there.
So
that's tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
I mean, every time I leave home without fail, I cry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. I just, you know, because my little girl's at that age where she's 12 years old, and leaving her is hard. It's really hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And leaving my wife is hard, you know, because my life at home is a different life, but it's a good life.
Yeah.
When I'm at home, I like to be a servant.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be a servant. Whatever needs to get done, the things that I've missed out on getting to do, I do them with a smile on my face because nice. it's a privilege just to have somebody to love, period.
Yes.
Is a blessing. It's the greatest blessing in life.
It is.
And then if they love you back, that's even better.
What a bonus, huh?
Yeah,
that blow your mind?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, it's really hard because, you can be in that situation where you're in a relationship like that. But, you know, usually one person feels stronger than the other. And it's nice if you're in a long-term relationship and that kind of goes hot. You know, at one time you may love mm-hmm. her more than she loves you, and there's times when she loves you more than you love her or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, to keep that going for years is pretty nice.
Well, we've been married 17 years now, and she's 10 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I get old, I'll have somebody to help me clean my teeth.
Yeah.
And, maybe
that helps.
Change my diaper, whatever needs to be done.
I think you're a couple years away from that.
I hope so. I hope so.
Ever thought about running for president?
I thought about it. I think I could be a good president because I don't know how to do anything, but I know how to find people that do know how to do stuff.
That's it.
That's
baby.
What it's about.
It really is. Mm-hmm. It definitely is. I think that's what any good leader is somebody mm-hmm. that doesn't claim to know how to do everything. It's somebody that humbles themselves and finds the people that do.
Right.
And even in my small organization, I surround myself with people that's smarter than me, that know how to do things that I don't know how to do.
There you go.
And I can do things they can't do. Mm-hmm. So everybody has a strength and everybody adds to. There's nobody that's dead weight. Mm-hmm. You know, if they dead weight, I can't work with them.
Right.
Everybody's got to bring it. And I'm in an organization of people that works with me and for me that they bring it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can tell on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody in my organization is top drawer. I love all of them.
That's way cool. So you're traveling now with?
I have. I'm traveling with my 5-piece band.
Nice.
And my manager and songwriting partner, Billy Maddox. Six of us travel together.
Okay.
We travel in a Mercedes Sprinter with a trailer behind it, and we debated on getting a bus. And the Sprinter's a little smaller, but the reason we didn't get a bus is because the money we save not getting a bus, we can all have our private hotel room every night.
Nice.
There you go.
And I'd rather have my own room every night and ride in the Sprinter to get there. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Because there's something about having your own room. You're not sharing. I don't share rooms with nobody. Nobody has to share a room. And time apart is really important it's just as important as time together.
That's true.
And so we travel really well.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. You know, the Beatles used to share rooms.
When they started out.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a humble beginning mm-hmm. and they came up in a time like Elvis did where there wasn't a gajillion channels on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when Elvis got on the Ed Sullivan show, everybody in the whole country was watching it.
Mm-hmm,
it ain't
mm-hmm.
like now where just so many different choices.
Right.
And so he became an international superstar overnight, and so did the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, when they came on the Ed Sullivan show.
Yeah.
It was, if you got on the Ed Sullivan show, you were instant star overnight.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you trying to get on the Ed Sullivan show still?
If I could turn back the hands of time, absolutely. But I can't. And today, the challenge for anybody in any business, whether it's music or selling hula hoops,
mm-hmm.
the problem is making people, there's so many things to choose from, is to making people aware that you even exist.
Right.
I mean, I've got like a Facebook, you know, and I got like 50-something thousand followers.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm always trying to grow that number and I do it by posting video content of just things or snippets of shows and over time every day somebody else joins.
Nice.
And you know, the internet, that's everything today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everything's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think that if anybody ever sees you perform, then you've got them. They're sold.
Well, thank you.
All they have to do is be in an audience of one of your shows, and they're going to be sold.
Well, thank you for saying that, and that's why I'm out here doing shows on the road, mm-hmm. and that's why it's important to me to do a good show. I see a lot of artists, unfortunately, that I wouldn't call any names, but when they go on stage, they act like they're doing the audience a favor, when in reality, the audience is doing mm-hmm. them a favor because mm-hmm. you know, they had to work that day, and then they got off work, and they showered, and they got their babysitter, and they paid $20 or $30 for a ticket. Mm-hmm. And they are the ones that needs to get something.
Yeah.
And the artists, I realize that. Every night I try to make sure that everybody there has a good time.
That's cool. That's way cool. I want to keep talking to you, but I know, you know, at the same time, I want to hear just another song.
All right. I'm going to sing. Here's one called I Have a Good Day Every Now and Then.
Well, that's a good one.
I was standing by the window in my box of shorts on a stormy night, blindsided from out of nowhere. You said goodbye, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Time's healing my heart. Some days this deep cut just stops bleeding, and there's only scar. I have a good day every now and then. Count my blessings on one hand. I start believing the sun will shine again. I have a good day every now and then. That guy you're seeing is a pretty boy with a hard-bodied physique. Armani suits, a black Mercedes. He's younger than me. I ain't missed a day of work in two whole weeks now. I didn't drink last night. I looked at your picture and shed just one tear before I turned out the light. I have a good day every now and then. Count my blessings on one hand. I start believing the sun will shine again. I have a good day every now and then. I have a good day every now and then.
Nice. Woo. Nice. Nice. That's so great. Awesome.
Thank you.
You know, you just write songs that just like go right to the heart. And I know people out there are listening and they're just excited because this phone's been ringing and I'm sorry I can't answer it, but the phone's been ringing a lot and that's a good thing. And
yeah,
So.
When the phone ain't ringing, you're in trouble.
Well, not necessarily. It's but it's great. It's great having you here. So I want to talk to you because I could talk to you all night long. So you've been doing this professionally for how long?
Since 1997.
Okay, so that's about 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before that, you kicked around and you did other jobs that I'm sure you got fired from I mean not fired, but maybe
I actually did get fired.
That happens.
Yeah, the first job I got was at McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah, and they put me on the grill.
Uh-huh.
And I did pretty good on the grill, but then. Well, first of all, I'm dyslexic. Let me preface this by saying that.
So I
started off on the grill, and they said I was doing good on the grill. But then they said, Paul, while you're on the grill, you also got to keep your eyes on the fries and the grease over here, and the chicken and the grease over here, and the tater tots. You got to keep an eye on them, and you got to keep all. And so I'm not good at multitasking,
uh-huh.
and the fries were burning. The fries were burning. They were losing money on me, so I couldn't keep up with all that. So the manager of McDonald's, they did fire me, but this manager above the guy that fired me felt sorry for me, and he didn't fire me and brought me back, and they put me outside shoveling gravel around the shrubberies because I could do that.
I bet if you had spent a couple more weeks, you would have gotten down the pattern of when to turn around and look at this or that.
You got to be fast at McDonald's. Yeah, you got to be fast.
Yeah. So did you do any other fun? You know, I mean, I did a lot of jobs. I worked in a drugstore when I was, 15, and I worked in the steel mills, and, I did all kinds of things.
Well, I'm sort of getting the vibe, but you don't know a lot about my biography, so I'll fill you in.
I would love to hear about
it. Right out of high school, I worked in a furniture factory for 12 years building furniture. But at one point, I was actually, this is going to come out of nowhere, I was a professional boxer. In 1988, I was.
That explains a lot.
Well, in 1988, I was actually the number 29 ranked middleweight in the whole world.
Wow.
And I got to fight. The fight I'm most known for is a fight that I lost because in 88, I fought on national television against the great Roberto Duran.
Wow.
You heard of him?
No, I'm not.
You know who Duran is?
Oh, yeah. He's
He beat Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah. Wow.
Manos de Piedra. Hands of Stone.
Hands of Stone, yeah. Well, I fought Roberto Duran, and I gave a good account of myself, but after six rounds, they stopped the fight because I had a really bad cut over my eye, and I was bleeding, and I couldn't see because the blood was getting in my vision.
Yeah.
But I boxed professionally, and after I lost to Duran, I had a few fights after that, but I sort of realized that at the end of the day, I was good at boxing, but not great. And to stay in a sport like that, you shouldn't do it unless you're great, because you can really get hurt in that sport. So I left boxing behind and went back and started looking into my music, and here I am.
Oh, I think that was a good choice.
Yeah.
Billy Joel also did that same thing.
Billy Joel was a boxer.
Yeah.
A lot of entertainers are. The actor Tony Danza, he was a boxer.
Yes. Wow. Mhm. So what other stuff did you do?
Well, I paint. Artwork's one of my hobbies.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Artwork's my hobby. I've had probably three or four gallery shows. And,
really?
And, so I do, and I design most all of my artwork on my CDs is my artwork.
Really?
Well, that's cool. Any of the cartoons you see on my albums, I did all that.
Now I'm going to have to go, but, because I do things so digitally now.
Yeah.
And one of the things I used to love, when you get a new album, you'd sit down with the album, play it, and if it had the words printed out, you just read along with it got into it. And now, you get these CDs, you throw it on a computer and you just play it and you don't pay attention anymore. And
Music is just air now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's nothing you can hold on to.
Yeah. I miss that.
I do too.
Yeah.
It used to be a big thrill to buy an album.
Yeah.
Look at, like I said, read everything on it.
Yeah.
Listen to it. And you didn't just listen to one song. You listened to all the songs.
Of course.
Yeah.
In a row, one after another.
And then flip it over and then sit down and go through the second half. Yeah.
The first record I ever bought with my own money was Elton John's Greatest Hits.
Really?
It's a fantastic album.
Huh.
Oh, it had Benny and the Jets.
Yeah.
Your Song, all those wonderful songs.
You were talking about Elvis. The first album I bought was Elvis Presley, 50,000 Fans Can't Be Wrong.
Yeah,
gold suit.
Well, McDonald's says that same thing, so that don't mean it's true. They said 1 billion said it was right, and they ain't none of it right. It's all wrong. So don't be tricked by numbers. That's right. Yeah. Tom Waits said it really good. He said, "I always get suspicious when I see a large group of people enjoying themselves together." Because mediocrity seems to be what people are drawn toward.
That's great. He's quite a character, Tom.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's really cool.
Should we let you get out of here?
Actually, I got to get back to the hotel because they got a washing machine over there.
Okay.
And I got one more pair of clean underwear.
Uh-oh.
It's getting to that crucial point.
Okay, but I'm not letting you go. I'm not going to let you go until you play me one more song. Please,
what
is that? Please.
All right.
see here, what we got? Let me see what I can do here. I dropped my pick on the ground.
Oh.
All right. I'm going to sing.
I want to let you know, too, that Rick Anderson, our station manager, is in here with me. If you hear that extra voice and you wonder who that is.
Okay. I'm going to sing.
But Rick is not going to sing along with you.
I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to sing a gospel song.
All right.
I sang this song. I've been singing this song since I was 3 years old. This is one of the first songs I ever learned. I sang it in church. It's called "It's Me Again, Lord." Trouble's coming, I can't find an answer. Lonely nights I've spent in agony, but I have no other friend that I can turn to. So here I am, Lord, asking on my knees. It's me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. I've got a problem that I can't solve. Now I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new, and I need help that only comes from you. I know you're mighty busy up in heaven, forming worlds and hanging stars that shine. But you promised that if I'd ask, I'd receive it. So here I am, Lord, asking one more time. It's me again, Lord. I've got a prayer that needs an answer. It's me again, Lord. I've got a problem that I can't solve. Now I don't mean to worry you, but here I am facing something new, and I need help that only comes from you. Yes, I need help that only comes from you.
Woo! Paul Thorne.
Nice, Paul Thorne.
Nice.
It was really hard. I was trying to imagine a child singing that song, you know, and it just seems so mature, yeah. You know.
Well, yeah. Well, at three, you don't really, you don't know what you need.
Yeah,
but I learned a song, and I was singing it 3 years old. It's a good song.
That's incredible. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It's such a song for an old soul.
Yeah.
You grew into it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Paul, I'm going to let you go. I'm so honored you chose to come by and see us.
I'm glad I got to see y'all and spend some time.
It's great. It's great. And you're going to have a great show tonight. If you've got a ticket for his show tonight, you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time. If you don't have a ticket for his show and you've never seen him, you might want to go out on the internet and see what you can do about picking up some of his music and turning yourself onto it. And the next time he comes to town and those tickets go on sale, you jump on it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I'm going to put some JJ Cale on here for you. And go.
I love JJ.
And go give this man, it's his birthday, or this is the day he died, 3 years ago today.
Is that right?
It's right, yeah.
I found something at a thrift store the other day. You ain't going to believe what I found. I found a road case, and it was a microphone case.
Uh-huh.
And it said JJ Cale. It was JJ Cale's microphone case.
Oh my gosh.
In a thrift store.
Oh,
I found
my
it.
Gosh.
I bought it.
Yeah. How cool. Where at?
It was in Nashville. It had his address on it and everything.
Really?
It belonged to J.J. Kale. It's got his name in big letters right across the front.
What a treasure.
It was a microphone case, yeah.
Nice.
Anyway.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'm going to put some J.J. Kale on and go give that man a big hug.